The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. I wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast. Happy NFL New Year. Woo! CBS Daily NFL Podcast. Woo! I'm Katie Mox here with Will Brinson and Tyler Sullivan. This is day three of the 2023 Free Agency Show. Join us all week long as we break down the chaos. And while you're at it, show the show some love. If you're on YouTube, smash that like button, comment, and subscribe. For our audio-only listeners, make sure that you download, follow, leave a review, and please tell your friends what's up to watch and listen to the pod. Brinson and Sully, nice to see you again for the second time today.
What's up? How we doing? Happy NFL New Year, Katie.
Happy New Year.
Sully, yeah. I mean, look.
No champagne. We missed the boat here.
Or at least mimosas. Definitely should have had a party hat of some kind. All I have is this giant swirl of a cowlick that's going on in my head right now. I need a haircut.
Your looks good today, Brinson.
Thanks. It's swoopy. It's inbox is being flooded right now with press releases from NFL teams who aren't officially allowed to announce signings until 4 o'clock. Now they can do that. We can anyone can talk to Lamar Jackson now officially, and tampering is no longer a problem. Anyone who's if you're an NFL player, you know, you've been talking to teams, but now, you know, your free agency has begun. That part is like kind of, I sort of wish they would just start it at 4 o'clock on Monday.
It's a weird inception in the NFL where like, Happy New Year, they can start talking, even though they've really been doing it since Monday.
Here's one that just came down.
Let's do it.
Jacoby Brissett signing with the Washington Commanders.
Nice.
Per Diana Mercedes, whatever her name is. the Commanders, Jacoby Brissett, that bums me out. I was kind of hoping Jacoby Brissett would go to the Panthers. They, of course, landed Andy Dalton. I thought just a nice fit with, you know, Brissett and Frank Reich, who would work together. I would guess that Brissett maybe saw the tea leaves. Because, you know, Andy Dalton's has been a backup for the last few years. Brissett started when Deshaun Watson was suspended. Has to think that he could, I mean, beat out Sam Howell. Ooh, NC State versus Carolina. Ooh, spicy. Brissett versus Sam Howell. Let's go, Jacoby.
I'm glad you got the rooting interest now. But this is what the Commanders were saying they were going to do. They wanted to find a veteran quarterback to complement Sam Howell as they put him in the offseason as their quarterback one. And Jacoby Brissett makes a ton of sense. I mean, he was somebody that, Will, I know that we've talked about it, Katie. I think we've talked about it with you, too, where he would be good in San Francisco for a few weeks if all of a sudden, you know, Brock Purdy and Trey Lance aren't ready. Like, he has been that perfect kind of stopgap guy. But this could be, you never know. If the floor falls out on Sam Howell, Jacoby Brissett is not a bad guy to lean on if that happens.
I mean, I
would have rather had Jacoby Brissett than Sam Darnold.
Yeah, I would guess that I would just guess that the Commanders, I think they probably wanted to find the guy who gave them the most upside as a starter, know what I'm saying? Like, and I think Brissett, like, as you point, like, I mean, I said it and you said it, right, Katie? Like, I'd rather have Brissett with the Panthers. Yeah. You'd rather have Brissett with the Niners. Brissett would rather be with a team where he thinks he can start. And worth noting, Jacoby Brissett, I'm like 99% sure this doesn't have an agent as well. So that may be a case where there's no, this had been agreed to, but there's no tampering, because who's going to leak it out? Like, Jacoby's probably like, just, I don't, like, don't even say anything. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no agent to leak out numbers. He doesn't need to get it out there, because agents always want to do that on Monday. So that actually makes a lot of sense that this tampering could have occurred, and, you know, the team didn't really care to leak it out, because it's you know, they're not paying him, probably not paying him a ton of money. That's kind of interesting.
And one thing to point out, too, with Brissett, it's the Buccaneers were reportedly interested in him as well, and they obviously have signed or agreed to terms with Baker Mayfield earlier today. So there goes that option. That was probably the clearest avenue for him to start. I know that Kyle Trask is kind of in that same boat as Sam Howell, as they're going to give him the opportunity to start, but you never know what's going to happen. But if you're Brissett, you still fall in a situation where I think that there's a decent avenue where you could potentially find yourself as a starter here. So that's good.
Oh, yeah. I think there's a really good chance that Jacoby Brissett could end up beating out Sam Howell. Like, this, it's a really good combination outside of the State Carolina thing. And they
whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're, they might have like a bet, you know, when the two teams play, but they didn't like cross over. They don't have any beef or anything like that. But it's, you know, you have Jacoby Brissett who could beat out Sam Howell and give you a nice floor, but also mm-hmm. you have a guy in Brissett who's not going to rock the boat and be a problem if for some reason, Howell wins the job. And I think, you know, in a perfect world, the Commanders would love Sam Howell to beat out Brissett.
He does all the same things that Heinicke does outside of the fan favorite, his kind of pushed to be that starter. You still get all that stuff without the pressure of, all right, this guy was kind of sort of our guy for a little bit. And he still maybe wants to be that. Maybe there's some guys in that locker room that believe he could still be that guy.
Yes.
But you still get the nice floor of Jacoby Brissett, the same thing that you have at Heinicke.
Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah, I was going to say.
So yeah. I was gonna say sneakily, he's like sneakily unathletic, but also sneakily athletic. You don't, he's not nearly as mobile as you think you see him. Yeah. Like he's not a mobile quarterback. Like he can run, but he's really not a mobile quarterback. It's kind of interesting.
I think he did really well last year. And I also think that he's a big locker room guy. I think he's got a lot of respect from the people that he plays with and is a really good leader. So you always want that with your team. But Sully, I got to go from one Jacoby to the next. Jacoby Myers out. Juju is in. Patriots give a 3-year, $33 million deal, a very big investment as the resident Pats fan. How you feeling?
You're also going from Jacoby to NC State to NC State there, too.
Oh.
So there's a lot of connections there. Very, very interesting. Obviously, you know, you have Jacoby Myers and Juju Smith-Schuster basically signing the same deal. I don't know what necessarily the guarantees, but 3 years, $33 million guaranteed. Jacoby Myers going to Las Vegas, Patriots coming to terms with Juju Smith-Schuster. I feel like it's a little bit of a lateral move. Yes, there's probably a higher ceiling with Juju Smith-Schuster. I have no faith that he's actually going to reach that with New England. I was much more confident in retaining Jacoby Myers, a guy that Mac Jones really liked and had a great rapport with, and then going forward and adding on somebody to complement him. Because really, Jacoby Myers is a number two wide receiver. He's that now in Las Vegas with Devontae Adams opposite of him. And that was kind of the hope that he would be this offseason with New England, adding somebody. Now that a guy like Juju Smith-Schuster comes in, I'm a little nervous that this is it for New England. There was rumors earlier in the day that they were in on Jerry Jeudy and DeAndre Hopkins and Odell Beckham. I kind of wonder if this is it. And if this is it, I don't feel like they've really done anything to vastly improve that offense.
Yeah, I mean, Juju Smith-Schuster is only 26, by the way, which is just crazy. But you had Jacoby Myers, who's also 26. I mean, they're the same age. It's pretty wild. I'm biased here, so, you know, like, take it for whatever it's worth. I would prefer Jacoby Myers, especially when you're talking about a team like the Patriots, where, you know, Juju Smith-Schuster got in a bunch of hot water with the Steelers because he was, loved to be on social media, loves his TikTok. And he's with the Chiefs, and, like, he was pretty quiet about it most of the season. But then you have, like, stuff just around the Super Bowl, the trash talk afterwards. Like, you just wonder, like, how is he going to – we were talking about before the show. I mean, like, that ain't Belichick's style. Like, Bill Belichick and Juju Smith-Schuster seem like an odd match. I will say that the offense – presumably that they'll run, you know, Juju does seem like a player who would fit very well in what the Patriots want to do from an offensive standpoint. But again, you had Jacoby Myers there, somebody who you'd scouted, you know, like you scouted and you picked up as an undrafted free agent, and you knew what he had in the building. And so you replaced him with Juju Smith-Schuster at basically the same price. Alan Lazard, by the way, got the same contract too. It's like all these wide receivers are getting these $11 million per year deals that are basically 1 year deals disguised as 3 year contracts.
And I don't know if you saw this, Brinson, Jacoby Myers tweeted or responded to the tweet of Juju Smith-Schuster going to New England saying cold world. So it would lead you to believe that he would have accepted the same deal had it been offered to him. So again, I'm kind of putting words and connecting dots that might not be there, but his kind of negative reaction to Juju getting a very similar deal tells me that he probably would have returned to New England had he been offered that deal, which again, just kind of, you know, rubs me the wrong way a little bit as to how the Patriots are kind of forming this offense.
It is worth noting that the Patriots have for a very long time been very reticent to give bigger contracts to undrafted or really late round guys, particularly the undrafted guys that they picked up and turned into, you know, high quality products like Malcolm Butler. You know, he succeeded in New England. They let him walk.
J.C. Jackson.
Exactly. Thank you. And then now you have Jacoby Myers. So, I mean, I don't know if that's like a principle thing where you don't want to, I mean, obviously the one big exception is Tom Brady here, but like, you know, I mean, although, you know, I don't know, it's weird. Like Edelman and, you know, like, I mean, they've kept some guys, but it's just that undrafted factor really they don't want to give a contract.
Yeah, I do wonder if that is a Belichick thing where it's, I brought you in, I've kind of made you who you are, I can find the next guy and do the same thing. I wonder if there's I don't want to call it arrogance, but I do wonder if there's a confidence that he can plug and replace those types of players that he feels like he plucked out of obscurity into a prominent role in New England. So that's kind of where I'm at. Just to go back a little bit more big picture with this, because I do think that you need to look at it from a big picture view. I've said all offseason with New England, they need to take major swings because of what the division is becoming. I mean, we were just on a podcast talking about Aaron Rodgers coming to this division. Buffalo's a Super Bowl contender. Miami is up and coming with Mike McDaniel now going into his second year as the head coach. You just see what New England's doing right now. They're continuing to act like Tom Brady's still the quarterback and he can kind of elevate these guys. And Mac Jones is a former first-round pick. He was promising in his first year, took a step back this year. But I just wonder if they're kind of operating in a way where they feel like they're better than what they are. Like they can elevate anybody that's there, which really was the case because you had Tom Brady. Now you don't have him anymore. You need to surround your young quarterback with top-tier talent. We've seen it over the course of the past few years, whether it's A.J. Brown going to Philadelphia, Stephon Diggs going to Buffalo, even possibly D.J. Moore going to Chicago with Justin Fields. These teams are aligning them with top-tier wide receivers, and it's seen them take a huge boost. I don't know if Juju Smith-Schuster's that type of a player to give Mac Jones that next year boost.
Yeah, I mean, wasn't there talk of that they were looking at other possible wide receivers too?
So this is what gets a little bit frustrating. Jeff Howe, The Athletic, he was formerly the Boston Herald. He's very plugged in with New England. He reported earlier in the day that the Patriots have made calls with DeAndre Hopkins and Jerry Jeudy. They also were obviously at Odell Beckham's free agent workout last week. But the thing that was annoying about that report, and Jeff's just reporting it, it's not necessarily anything that he's doing, but the last nugget was, but the price point remains the key component. Yep. That's what's going to frustrate a lot of New England fans, and it's kind of what I was saying earlier, where they're operating that they can still get guys on the cheap and elevate. You could do that when you have the greatest quarterback of all time. You can't necessarily do that right now. So if you could get Jerry Jeudy or DeAndre Hopkins, that's fantastic. That will dramatically help Mac Jones. But if you're not going to extend yourself, and I'm not saying give up the number 14 overall pick, but I think you have four or five other draft selections within the top 150.
They've got 14, 46, 76 from Carolina, 107 from the Rams, 117, a 135 compensatory pick. So you got a lot of picks.
You have a lot of assets to go do something that could bring in a premier guy. And then if you're telling me it's DeAndre Hopkins and Juju Smith-Schuster or Jerry Jeudy and Juju Smith-Schuster, all right, now we're cooking.
Yeah.
I just don't know if that's going to be the road they're going down.
And let's not forget too that, like, I mean, you know, the Chiefs just won the Super Bowl with Juju Smith-Schuster ostensibly operating as their number one wide receiver, whatever you want to call it. But they got Travis freaking Kelce. Like, the Patriots don't have Rob Gronkowski. They sure as hell don't have Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady. I mean, no offense to McCorkle Jones. It's just, like, you sort of wonder, like, did Bill, I mean, and I don't want to question Bill Belichick, you know, but Like,
he's missed the playoffs two of the last 3 years post Brady. You can start questioning if you want.
Okay. I think Boston people are Boston. Like in Southie, they're getting a little loose on Belichick, but like, I think like it's the arrogance you mentioned. It's sort of, he's like, well, I mean, you know, we did it. We made the playoffs with like, you know, Edelman and Welker. And it's like, yeah, but you had Tom Brady.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, if Mac Jones becomes a great and in fairness to Mac Jones and Belichick, the utter idiocy of rolling with Joe Judge and Matt Patricia last year was an obvious setback. But then you point, it's like, well, who did it? You know, like who's the guy who said this is going to work? Belichick. Like, that's right. The crazy part. You're like, oh, you think like what? And so it is fair. Victor Garcia says there's no way the Pats are done. I would agree. I think they have to add more pass catchers, but it's just like we can now, I think at this point in time, without ripping Belichick, without, you know, calling into question his ability to build a roster to whatever it is, we can at least say, because, you know, for the last like 25 years, you couldn't say, like, if Belichick made a move, you're like, look, if somebody else did this, I would, or if the Browns did this, I would be like, what the hell are you thinking? But Belichick did it, so we're going to give him a pass. I think now with what we've seen in the post-Brady era, it is okay to say, hey, like, were we 100% sure this is the right move when Bill Belichick does something?
And I'll say this really quickly. You know, I mentioned DeAndre Hopkins and Jerry Jeudy. If that happens, that's totally fine. I would also be totally fine with, and the commenter said, you know, there should be another move coming. If that next move is Orlando Brown or something that solidifies the offensive line, that to me is good enough as well, because that was half the problem for Mac Jones last year. He's very much sped up, couldn't work the play action the way they wanted to. And so if you're telling me you're going to solidify the left tackle spot and give him a guy like Juju Smith-Schuster, who is statistically better in separation and yards after the catch and all that stuff statistically than Jacoby Myers, then okay, we can see what you're doing. But if you're giving me a patchwork offensive line and not doing anything else other than Juju, that to me is where you start getting really concerned about what 23 may look like for them.
All right, guys, let's pivot. Keep it in the AFC East. Talk about the Bills, which we haven't really talked about actually all week long. You got Jordan Poyer, who checked the market and seems like he's going to re-sign with the Bills. Bills Mafia probably excited about this one. You guys consider this a win?
Yeah, I think this is huge for Buffalo. I mean, this is a guy that I think we all assumed was as good as gone, right? I mean, he's talking about possibly joining Miami, that he doesn't like, you know, half of his paycheck being taken out in New York State. And so it kind of felt like this was a foregone conclusion that he was going to be gone. And when you're a team like Buffalo, who is right on the cusp of winning a Super Bowl and being a year-in and year-out Super Bowl contender, the last thing you want to do is start losing all-pro talent, specifically in the secondary, when you're in a conference that has Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, and possibly now Aaron Rodgers and all these studs at the quarterback position. And so bringing in a guy that's not only still at the top of his game in terms of his play on the field, but a legitimate leader in that secondary, I don't know how you don't look at this as a major win for Buffalo.
I would, I was texting my buddy Zeke to let him know that Brissett's going to the Commanders. Zeke is in a, Zeke is obviously an NC State fan, went to school with me. So the Nats got rid of everybody, and NC State never wins anything. And, you know, so he has the Commanders still there, but he's been in like this sort of, very dark headspace because he's convinced that Sam Howell, a Carolina quarterback, is going to like become the next great star of the DMV. that's all he's going to have in his life is Sam. Like, and so Brissett kind of calming him down. But yeah, look, I mean, you see the numbers, you know, the points per game, you know, they went up 2 points per game when Poyer was out. I mean, and I think, is Leslie Frazier taking the year off?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's,
which is another point not to sleep on. Again, if you want guys that are, you know, he's obviously one of, you know, the better defensive coordinators in the NFL. You lose him, you all of a sudden start losing brain trust like Poyer, Frazier. That's a recipe, like I was saying earlier, that's a recipe to really take a step back in a conference with all these elite quarterbacks.
Yeah, and, you know, we saw a little bit of it on the offensive side of the ball. Like, not, I mean, I think Ken Dorsey did a pretty good job, but like, clearly, you know, it was a downgrade from Brian Daboll to Ken Dorsey. We talked about that a lot leading into the season. You know, no one's saying Ken Dorsey can't get it done. It's just you have this proven track record of being really, really good with Brian Daboll. And so now you have a similar sort of thing where you have a track record of Leslie Frazier with this defensive, you know, group having, you know, putting up pretty stout numbers. Now, they've been weak against the run at times, and the pass rush hadn't been great, but that's more of a personnel thing than I think a Leslie Frazier issue. So now, you really need some consistency in terms of your personnel if you're going to be losing that defensive coordinator, especially in this particular defense. And you have Sean McDermott, so they'll be fine. McDermott's a, you know, was a great defensive coordinator with the Panthers and briefly with the Eagles. But like, you want these veteran safeties on the back end because they are the keys to this particular defense. And if you have those veteran safeties on that back end, it's going to make whoever takes a DC job, whether it could be Sean McDermott calling plays, it's just going to make life a lot easier. So I think this is when we go back and look at this offseason, I think there's a decent chance that this could end up being like the most underrated signing of the whole offseason if Buffalo wants to stay in the mix as an AFC power.
Not only that, Will, you're bringing back Poyer, but that's obviously important because of what he brings to the table, not only from an on-field standpoint, but from a leadership standpoint and just knowing the defense. You lose Leslie Frazier. You also lost Tremaine Edmonds, which is something that we obviously have to point out there as well. He's been a key piece to the interior or the middle of that field on defense. And you were talking about them poor against the run. That probably will continue here a little bit now with Edmonds being gone. So you keep Jordan Poyer back in the fold. That's just another veteran piece that could help you going forward.
How do you guys feel about the Bills? And I know this is way too early to ask this question, but I have had a futures ticket on the Bills now 2 years in a row. And 2 years in a row, they have disappointed me. And we're talking about how great this is that they brought back Jordan Poyer. They're still the second favorite to win the AFC conference at plus 450 on Caesars. And they're the third favorite to win the Super Bowl. At what point do we give up on the Bills as being a real powerhouse that's going to win?
I actually was watching, maybe it was actually a McAfee show today, which I might just start. I don't usually watch it like daily.
Yeah, it's
like,
fun.
Fun. Yeah, it's a great show. I think that they were saying like, it's like Pac-Man Jones and Boston Connor specifically were like the Bills window is closed, which I think it's a little too early for that. I mean, you've got Josh Allen, so you're not, your window's not closed. Your window's not closing when you got Josh Allen, you know?
Would you put money on a futures ticket for them? I mean, they've been the favorite. They're not the favorite this year. They're the second favorite for the conference behind the Chiefs, but they've been the odds on favorite 2 years in a row.
I think it's too expensive because eventually you're more than likely going to get in a spot where, so like you're taking about 5-1 or something like that. Where, I mean, like you could just wait till the AFC Championship game and take him at like plus like 2-1, you know, or wait till because I mean, they're going to get past the Chiefs at some point anyway. So for me, I don't like to dabble in that end, but like it would not surprise me if the Bills won a Super Bowl. It's just the AFC is going to be really hard for the next 5 years. Like Patrick Mahomes is just Tom Brady 2.0 in terms of where there is the path to getting to the Super Bowl is going to go through Kansas City. 4 out of 5 years. And if you can't beat the Chiefs in Kansas City, you're probably not going to play in a Super Bowl. And there are going to be quarterbacks. Philip Rivers comes to mind with Tom Brady.
I was going to say, what about those Chargers?
Well, it's like there are going to be quarterbacks who don't really be Hall of Fame level quarterbacks who don't sniff a ring because Patrick Mahomes exists on planet Earth. And he's just going to, I mean, that's just the reality. And then you also have I'm not closing anything on the Bills until Josh Allen's gone, but I mean, it's just going to be hard.
The one thing that I have concerns about, it revolves around Josh Allen. One, the turnovers in the red zone last year were just, you just can't have that. You can't contend for a Super Bowl and have your quarterback, your star quarterback, turn the ball over in the red zone. It's just not feasible. If they can somehow fix the running game and have a little bit more consistency there, because that's really been their issue, right? Over the last few years, they can put up points in a hurry, but if all of a sudden you have to grind out a game in the second half and really run the football effectively, they haven't been able to do it. And I saw a few people on social media saying maybe go after Zeke Elliott, who was just officially released from the Dallas Cowboys. And I'm sure we'll get to him, but that's somebody who I think would be interesting. If you talk about 2023, though, it is a little bit of a make or break year. I know that you can restructure contracts and do all that stuff. But Josh Allen, and I know he recently just did it, but Josh Allen right now is accounting for $47 million against their cap in 2024. That is a monster number that, again, will be restructured in some form or another. But eventually, when you push these quarterback deals down the line, eventually you got to pay the piper. And so you get to a certain point, and now you're going to be really struck against the cap, like we've seen Tampa Bay now, as they've done. We pushed a lot of their guys back when they had Tom Brady. Now that he's gone, all this stuff's kind of come and due. They're restricted into what they can do in free agency right now. And I wonder if eventually Buffalo hits that point because they're moving Josh Allen's numbers around too much.
Yeah, I mean, look, Burrow's going to get paid. Herbert's going to get paid. Mahomes got paid. Deshaun Watson got paid. Lamar Jackson might get paid. I mean, like, there's just a lot of quarterbacks in the AFC who are going to take up huge cap spaces. And this is where it does come down to it. Like, front office, your front office work is going to matter, right? Like, the ability, you see what the Chiefs did, your ability to surround Patrick Mahomes, you know, with Juju for on a one-year deal. You know, you've got Mecole Hardman who can, you know, you have all these people. Like, they lose Tyreek Hill and don't miss a beat. In fact, win the title. So it's like Buffalo is going to have to sacrifice some stuff. And the question is, can they effectively replace it and keep, you know, it's hard to stay on top in the NFL. Really, really, really hard, even with a quarterback. And that's where, you lose Joe Shane, you lose Brian Daboll, you know, Leslie Frazier going for a year. You just have attrition when you win. And so it will, you know, like, yeah, I mean, it's going to be tough.
And real quickly, I do want to see what a full season with Von Miller looks like. I think that was a big X factor last season. Obviously, their big offseason acquisition a year ago. He was a guy that was supposed to be that veteran, former champion, help get you over the hump. Obviously went down with a season-ending injury, wasn't able to play for them down the stretch. If he's able to play a full season, I do wonder how much of an impact that'll make.
I agree with you on that one. Okay, this one really surprised me. I don't know why it surprised me, and I wish that we had BQ on the show today. Baker Mayfield to Tampa Bay signed a one-year deal, $8.5 million, giving him the opportunity to battle for the starting spot with Kyle Trask. What do you guys think of Tampa Baker, right?
Tampa Baker. I like that, actually. Mm-hmm. I like that a lot. So, fun fact. Sully, you probably remember what pick Tom Brady was, right?
Yes.
What was it? 199.
Tom Brady. You're asking a pass, and they know.
Tom Brady's immediate replacements at both of the places he departed were the number one overall pick, Cam Newton and Baker Mayfield.
That's an interesting point. I didn't think of that. Yeah.
Kind of a...
Yet none had a career like his.
Yeah, Baker definitely not. Cam actually won an MVP and, you know, is criminally underrated, but I digress. I thought that so Stephen O, who does the Sportsline Sims for us, let me find the email real quick. Baker Mayfield to Tampa Bay. Here's the Sims. With Kyle Trask as the starter, they go from 6.4 wins to 7.6 with Baker Mayfield. And I thought Stephen made a great point in his email that he sent to all of us. Personally, if I were Tampa Bay, I would tank for the 2024 quarterbacks. And I think this is probably going to be a prevailing sentiment across the board when you talk about the Bucs and Baker Mayfield, in that it does Baker – they're signing him to a one-year deal. He's going to battle with Kyle Trask, as you see on the rap sheets. Tweet. Is – if Baker Mayfield comes in and helps you win one or two games, did you really just shoot yourself in the foot with a cannon, no less – by virtue of moving yourself from a possible top five pick to a possible top 15 pick? Because if you have a top 15 pick, you're probably not getting a quarterback. You know what I'm saying? Like, is Baker make them just good enough where they're not going to be involved in the top overall pick, but they're not going to be sniffing the playoffs? I think that's kind of my question.
It depends. Is Sean McVay coming with him to Tampa Bay? I think that was a huge X factor for him, because I think if you put pretty much any quarterback with Sean McVay, they're going to be able to put up numbers, which is what we saw at the end of last season when he joined Los Angeles. But pretty much everywhere other stop that Baker Mayfield's been outside of his early years with Cleveland, he's kind of faltered off a little bit. Now, obviously, you still have Mike Evans right now. You still have Chris Godwin as of right now. I believe I saw a report that the Buccaneers were going to be one of the teams. I think it was the Tampa Bay Times that said the Buccaneers were going to be one of the teams that's going to be aggressive in trying to get Ezekiel Elliott. So you're surrounding him with a lot of assets that you would think that maybe could produce something. So I do wonder if that might be a big difference, but I'm one of these guys that, you know, you drafted Kyle Trask in the second round, you might as well see what you have, because like you're saying, Will, if all of a sudden he's not the guy, Kyle Trask, well then, all right, you stink. You're going to have a top five pick. You go after one of those quarterbacks. If he's great, well then there you go. You have a second round pick on his rookie deal and off we go. So the Baker Mayfield thing, I know that you might want a veteran just to kind of have that safety net, but I would have much rather that safety net be like Jacoby Brissett than it does for Baker Mayfield, because there is that off chance that Baker gets hot and turns into Tampa Baker. And we all of a sudden start getting a little weird, and we're talking about a top 10 pick, like you said, well, outside of a top five.
Now, and in defense of the Buccaneers, like, you know, you can't – I think there's probably one team out there this year, and it's the Colts, who might be tanking for the 2024 draft class. You know, like, if – like, I just sort of been thinking this lately. Like, there's a decent chance that they just decide to draft the best player available at four, and then say, we're going to suck this year, and we're just not going to have a quarterback. But I don't think Tampa Bay wants to do that. You know, the Glazer family is not scared to fire people. You have, you know, like, they're really, like, quick turnover, even, you know, Jason Light and Todd Bowles at the championship. And so now, like, you do want to go out and get somebody. You look around the division, I mean, the Panthers have Andy Dalton. The Saints have Derek Carr. You know, I mean, the Falcons have Desmond Ridder. And, you know, it's possible Baker could compete in that division.
Desmond Ridder and Taylor Heineke.
Yeah. I mean, well, Justice in the chat says NFC South is still maybe the worst division. Tampa could easily sneak into the playoffs. They just needed somebody to effectively throw the ball. Brady wasn't that last year. Can we really blame that on Tom Brady?
2022 Tom Brady is better than 2023 Baker Mayfield.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah. In fact, 2023 Tom Brady might be better than 2023 Baker Mayfield. By the way, let's not forget, too, like, they're changing offensive coordinators.
But one of the big issues for this team is they couldn't run the football. I mean, that's the reason why Tom Brady had to throw a record amount of times in the regular season. You get somebody that can run the football, that's going to make Trask and or Baker Mayfield's life much easier than it was for Tom Brady a year ago.
I also think, too, that, like, we severely – and I'm guilty as charged of this – severely underrated – the drop-off from Bruce Arians to Todd Bowles at the head coaching position, and with the influence it would have on the offense. And maybe Tom Brady guilty as charged, too, because he, you know, by all accounts, could have, you know, potentially helped push out Bruce Arians. Bowles, I think Bowles with Baker Mayfield has potential for disaster.
Right. And the tanking thing, too. You know, if you're Todd Bowles, you're obviously not in the business of doing that. You have no long-term security with this organization to feel like you can absorb a tanking down season and expect to keep your job. So, like, it's not like it's Bruce Arians where you're saying, okay, maybe that's somebody who's a little bit more tenured and that makes a little bit more sense. If you're all of a sudden, like, let's just say you stink and you have the number one overall pick and you're drafting Caleb Williams, you're starting over with somebody new. Like, you're doing a full Arizona Cardinals where it's Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury, and you're trying to build it. Not that that worked out, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, you're going to pair the quarterback with the coach. Exactly. In theory. And when you have the number one overall pick and you're firing your coach, which a lot of times happens because, you know, your team stunk. If there's a good quarterback class, it's a much more attractive job. Like, in theory, just in theory, the hypothetical where if Sean Payton doesn't take the Broncos, maybe he's like, ooh, Tampa Bay, right. You know, I would point out, too, so I'm gonna be on my good friend friend of the podcast, Dave Damashek's show tomorrow. It's the -3 podcast. I'm sure subscribe. And Sheck and I, for the last, I don't know, like 5 or 10 years, it might be 10, have ranked the NFC South quarterbacks every year before the season. And he just, we were texting about this. He was just like, what has happened to our division? It used to be like, you know, like, it was like Cam was number 4 one year, like when Jameis Winston was a rookie potentially, and now it's like Ridder, Trask, Baker, and Derek Carr. Like, what has happened? The NFC South, the mighty has fallen.
Well, I do think that there's obviously another shoe to drop in terms of the division. The Carolina Panthers having the number 1 overall pick. We could be talking about Bryce Young. We could be talking about C.J. Stroud, Anthony Richardson. Which, if all of a sudden that guy turns into the next best thing. All right, well, then that increases the level of play. Still, you're talking about Ridder, Mayfield, and or Trask. But Derek Carr right now is the best quarterback in that division, which is hilarious because we've talked about it before. He went from number 4 in the AFC West to now number 1 by default in the AFC South, in the NFC South, which is just a remarkable turn of events for him.
We talked about yesterday how the NFC East was just like an overall winner, and the Eagles did something I found to be a little bit shocking. They're releasing Pro Bowl cornerback Darius Slay after 3 years. And I really just want to know what Billy thinks about this first.
Oh, man. I mean, I wasn't expecting this. Like, I mean, we had the conversation before last week. We talked about, you know, Bradberry and whether or not I wanted him to come back. And Wilson asked me that last week. And I said, I mean, no, you know, if he wants to leave, he can leave. But I guess he was listening to me and heard that he probably come back and redeem himself from that Super Bowl performance that he had. And so he's doing that. But I did not see Darius Slay not being back on this Eagles team this upcoming season. But I do understand he was looking for a 3-year deal, fully guaranteed. He's 32 years old. You can't give a guy like that that type of money, especially his cap hit for the next few seasons as well. I understand it. But this is the positive thing for the Eagles, though, as well, because, yes, we may not have Darius Slay on the roster, but we did get Bradberry. We did re-sign him. And this more than likely means that C.J. Gardner-Johnson will be an Eagle this year as well. So, you know, there's still some upside here to this Eagles defense. Not to worry too much. I think we should be all right.
Billy, does that change your mindset with the NFL draft? Like, I mean, you do have the 10th pick. Like, is that – are you now in Christian Gonzalez, Joey Porter conversations now, or is that
– You know what, Sully? That – you know, I've been talking with friends and texting back with a whole bunch of guys trying to figure out what the Eagles are going to do at that number 10 slot. I thought beforehand, you know, when we were going to keep Bradberry and I thought Slay was going to be here as well, we probably go, you know, maybe Jalen Carter slides, or we still go defensive tackle, defensive line, because that's what the Eagles do. They either go offensive or defensive line. They Howie makes sure he's like, he shores that part of the team up before he does anything else. But now it kind of seems like maybe we're in that Joey Porter, you know, type of conversation, or maybe we're in that Witherspoon type of conversation where they do maybe draft a corner that high. But I still don't see it to be likely. I do see them inevitably taking a defensive lineman or a pass rusher in that spot at 10.
I mean, they're not taking a cornerback in the first round.
Yeah, I mean,
they don't
historically have it.
They do.
Can you name the last defensive back that the Philadelphia Eagles took with a first round pick?
Ooh, was trivia.
Logan Brown. Was it Lito Shepard?
It was Lito Shepard.
I was like, Bill, you don't even know the answer to this?
No, Jordan Brown was a second round pick. No, I was making sure I didn't miss. Lito Shepard.
I knew it was either one of the. I know they were the.
2002, they took Lito Shepard, Michael Lewis, Sheldon Brown with first and second round picks, all defensive backs, and they have not used a first round pick on a defensive back since. Howie Roseman just doesn't do it. I don't know if that's. I don't know if that's by virtue of where he's picking, where you used to have some uncertainty, like, you know, because it's quarterbacks typically have not, you know, we've seen him drafted like a cornerback who's drafted in the top five typically has to be a really, really, or top 10 needs to be a really, really elite corner. The Eagles haven't had a ton of those picks. I think it's smart by Howie to lean into what you do well, but he may feel like he's not, like, that's not his strongest area of evaluation. And so he doesn't want to try and force it with a cornerback in the first round, or he just believes you build in the trenches. Either, whatever the case may be, it would be a stunner if the Eagles took a cornerback in the first round.
Well, that's what makes it interesting, though, is because you're releasing Slay. You don't know what's going to happen with C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Like, you don't know. So all of a sudden, if you know, let's say the Arizona Cardinals with Gannon all of a sudden come out of nowhere and say, all right, let's bring, you know, this guy that I've worked with before, sign him to a massive deal. Well, then all of a sudden you really have to start having that conversation, which is uncharted territory, as you were saying, with Philadelphia.
I mean, the thing with Howie is, like, as Eagles fans, we all remember the Chip Kelly era and, you know, him being demoted after that. And I mean, after that situation, I think that was the best situation for Howie because he learned so much from that, you know, being demoted and being, you know, sent to the back office. You know, he learned so much from that situation that when he came out of that, you know, he made the move to get Carson Wentz and we go to a Super Bowl and then he still drafts Jalen Hurts. You know, he was just so much forward thinking and he had his principles and he stood by them. And he did have his hiccups along the way still. But, you know, I think Eagles fans now have way more trust in Howie Roseman over the years, seeing all the picks that he's made and all the decisions that he's made and how good he is with the cap. We have no other choice but to trust Howie Roseman at this point.
Yeah, for sure. I'm just saying that, like, I just don't – like, I mean, it wouldn't be stunning if they – draft. I mean, I take that back. I would be stunned if they drafted a cornerback in the first round. But I mean, if you believe it's a position of, if there's a guy there that they love, you know, they could do it. I really don't think that, especially where they're picking. Like, I think I said the same.
10's not that, but 10's not bad. I don't think drafting a corner at 10 is egregious or anything. I think it's egregious for the Eagles. Yes, like as you.
It depends on who the cornerback is. Like, you know, we saw with J.C. Horn and oh God, who did the Broncos take? Patrick Surtain, the second. Like, those are, like, you know, you just have to have a belief and a conviction that you have a guy who could possibly be a lockdown corner if you're going to pull the trigger on that. I think it's like all depends on sort of the cornerback class, maybe more so than the Eagles and, you know, where they're picking.
I mean, Sauce Gardner last year went in the first round as well. So, I mean, you know.
Derek Stingley. No. Look, there's nothing wrong with taking a cornerback in the first round, especially if you take him high, because you usually have those elite cornerbacks. I'm just saying it is not the Eagles' MO to do that,
which
would make it surprising unless there's a guy who they really have a conviction on being a lockdown corner.
I agree.
Okay, on that note, we are going to take a quick break. But before we do, it's bracket time. So get yours in now on the CBS Sports app. You can play in men's and women's pools with friends and join our challenges for the chance to win a new car and trips to the 2024 Final Four. Get the CBS Sports app or visit cbssports.com/play to start filling out your brackets. No purchase necessary. See terms and rules for details. You're watching the Pick Six Podcast. We'll be right back.
Get breaking news.
Big news coming out of the NFL today.
Highlights and instant reactions.
The largest final round comeback in four championship history. We're down to the final four.
I just want to take time to analyze greatness.
Chalk winners and losers with a guy who's already a big winner.
CBS Sports HQ. It's all sports all day long.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Welcome back to the Pick Six Podcast, talking NFL free agency. If you haven't already, hit us up on social at Pick Six Pod on all social media platforms. Also, if you are finding us today on the CBS Sports main YouTube page, make sure that you follow the Pick Six Pod.
A little breaking-ish news. We knew it was going to happen, but it actually happened.
Yes.
Zeke Elliott, the Cowboys. I don't think they announced that they released it. They just sent out a tweet that said, "Thank you, Zeke Elliott." It's like Jerry Jones, like, don't even.
That football signed by Zeke Elliott.
Oh, really? Did it?
As a 49ers fan, the fact that the last play that he played as a Cowboy was in the divisional round where they bizarrely put him at center and he was absolutely level. Who was it? Was it Fred Warner? Who got him?
I think it was a defensive lineman. Like it may have been Fred Warner. I can't remember. He got absolutely truck stacked, put on roller skates. Total disaster. How many did Sully? Did that football gain like 3.1 yards per carry last year?
It actually lost 3.1% of the value every
carry. Zeke Elliott was. I think it's fascinating that it is kind of interesting that in the same year that Zeke Elliott's being cut by the Cowboys, Jalen Ramsey traded for the second time in his career, so he's moving on to his third team. But like, if you drafted, I always bring this up because it seems painfully obvious. Zeke was a great running back. Dak won rookie of the year, but Zeke could have easily been rookie of the year. They won the division when he and Dak were rookies. If you'd gone Jalen Ramsey and then gotten either, I think Derrick Henry's in the draft. Is it Nick Chubb too? You could have gone Jalen Ramsey, Derrick Henry, and then later added Dak Prescott in that draft, which would have been, pretty good. Zeke was awesome. You know, won the rushing title twice, 72 total touchdowns. 10,598 yards. He had some off the field stuff. Ended up suing the NFL. Was a great run blocker. I just think it sort of reminds you that, as good as Zeke was, you could have had Derrick Henry and Jalen Ramsey, and you wonder if that would have changed the trajectory of the Cowboys at all.
I think that's totally true. I'm just seeing where Derrick Henry was taking. He was taking second round, 45th. Overall, so you clearly could have made some moves to acquire him, obviously, if that's who you felt like. But yeah, no, and not only that, Will, it's you're talking about the draft position, but we should also talk about the contract as well. I mean, that hamstrung them to doing certain things over the course of the last few years. I mean, they're just getting out of this deal, but they were kind of the one of the first teams or first few teams. Obviously, Todd Gurley was part of this as well.
And by the way, Dallas took Jalen Smith in the second round. They could have just taken Derrick Henry.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah, I mean, they could have, like, it's, I mean, they could have had, they passed on Jalen Ramsey for Zeke and then took Jalen Smith instead of being able to take Derrick Henry. It was just like, it was there, you know, like that. It was just there.
Right. And then they compounded it with the $90 million contract over 6 years, which, again, like I was saying, hamstrung them to doing other moves that probably would have helped them contend a little bit further in the postseason. Because as we've seen, and we're obviously clearly getting this now, as we've seen the running back landscape change in terms of how important teams are using their capital against them. You don't give big money to a running back. As much as you feel like he's the fabric of your organization, you don't give him a 6 and 90 or whatever the, you know, Los Angeles Rams gave Todd Gurley. It just is a just absolute cancer to what you can do in other spots of that roster. And, you know, it feels like they're almost like disposable lighters. Like, you can just kind of plug and play in terms of what you find out in the draft and change things out. So to me, that's one of the big things. Yes, the draft, but also the contract with Zeke Elliott was the thing that hamstrung the Cowboys.
What a comparison. Disposable lighters.
I know. It's a little harsh, but, like, you kind of get what I'm saying.
I get it. Well, you guys, we talked about it earlier. Do you think Zeke
I have a follow-up question.
Yeah.
What is your version of, like, a non-disposable, like a Zippo?
Yeah, like the electric one. You ever see those? I got one of those. Those are pretty cool.
Do you have a lot of lighters?
Enough. I don't smoke or anything, but
yeah, I was wondering. I mean, lighters, like,
I only have, like, the long candle ones, you know, that yeah. You don't burn your.
You don't find that suspicious. You don't find that suspicious.
I do indeed find that suspicious.
All right, so where do you guys think that Zeke goes? I mean, obviously, we talked about how the Bucks couldn't run the ball. Is that a good spot for him?
Go ahead, Will.
Yeah, I think we say the Bucks. I don't know about that. I mean, look at, was Leonard Fournette, was he Christian McCaffrey's class, or is he Zeke's class?
Retired, right?
Yeah.
Or was he released? Did he retire, or is he just? Because I know he wanted
released.
To finish.
But the Buccaneers, I don't know if they're in a place that makes a lot of sense. You know, if they want to give him a boatload of money, I'm sure Zeke will take it. But for him, I would assume you're trying to find a place where you can win. So let's go through the obvious ones. Kansas City, is that a team where you can complement him with Isaiah Pacheco? Or do you go to Buffalo, who we mentioned earlier? Mm-hmm. They've struggled to get over that hump, and part of that issue is they've struggled to run the football and kind of grind teams out late in games. Could that be an option for them to complement Nyheim Hines and kind of that running game that they're trying to form there, and maybe take a little bit off of Josh Allen? We talked about his red zone issues. Maybe if you don't have to use him as your power back in the red zone, that makes him a little bit more effective in the red area. So those are two teams that obviously are going to get brought up. You know, do you go to maybe Philadelphia? That could be an interesting, you know, a heel turn, mm-hmm. because it looks like they're not going to bring back Miles Sanders. And I think they only signed, what was it, Brad Penny? I don't know if that
Rashad Penny. Brad Penny's a former MLB player.
Yes, I don't know where my brain was going there.
I will say, too, like, Billy had pointed out just in Slack, where we were talking about, like, he wouldn't, you know, the Eagles do have a, you know, a history of signing former Cowboys players. And that would be the sort of thing that
great heel turn.
Yeah, that would be the sort of thing that where it's maybe spite motivates Zeke Elliott a little bit. You get two good matchups there.
And I'll give you one more. Maybe Miami. Is that a team that, again, has struggled to find a running game? You know, I don't know if he necessarily fits Mike McDaniel's his system and how he wants to run the football. But that's a team that, again, has just struggled to really have any established running game. And so far, they haven't brought anybody super of note. I know they re-signed Jeff Wilson and Raheem Mostert. But is that another guy to maybe keep an eye on there? Because I know that there were whispers that they were interested in Dalvin Cook. So is that just another veteran that they could look at?
Yeah, Billy in the chat spamming, bring him to the birds. Well, speaking of spiteful, there's no one more spiteful than Aaron Rodgers. And we definitely already had a show about this today, our emergency pod. But Aaron Rodgers told the Pat McAfee show that he intends to play for the Jets and the teams just need to work out compensation. We've had a couple hours to digest this info. Any other thoughts that you have about this? And are either the Packers or the Jets winners or losers in this scenario?
I would say, well, I mean, again, if you get Aaron Rodgers and it's at a reasonable price, the Jets are clearly winners because right now they're a team that has Zach Wilson as their starting quarterback. And we've seen Zach Wilson in the NFL. He's not very good right now. And we don't know if he's ever going to be any good. So that's going to put you fourth place in the AFC East. You get Aaron Rodgers. Now you're talking about possibly winning that division. Now you're talking about a deep playoff run. You're even talking Super Bowl, which is bananas for a team like the Jets, who we've mentioned have the longest playoff drought in the NFL. So clearly, as long as you're not giving up multiple first-round picks and you can get Aaron Rodgers to East Rutherford, you're clearly a winner there because you've instantly improved your quarterback position for at least 2023.
Yeah. No complaint. I mean, look.
What about the Packers? Are the Packers losers here?
I think. All right. So, like, my take is that, assuming you don't have to give up too much. I mean, that's the whole thing. It's like, you can't give up. We talked about this, and we've heard reports after Aaron Rodgers was on the Pat McAfee show. We have a Katie's first emergency podcast.
Oh
wow! Yeah. I didn't think about that. It was
a moment
handled with a palm. I think that Rodgers. The sort of the reports that came out of that after, you know, Rodgers pointed out that the Packers were holding this thing up is that they don't want to, they don't need two first round picks, but they're, it's just this back and forth. This is how it goes when you've got this big time, you know, quarterback name who's under contract and you've got leverage, different leverage spots on both sides. You're going to have some public posturing and you're getting that from the Packers. You hear the Packers leak out like, we don't need that much, et cetera, et cetera. So, I think as long as you don't give up a firm first round pick for it, and it's like a conditional type of pick, then the Jets are definitely winners. I don't think that the Packers are, I think right now in the heat of the current moment, maybe you could call the Packers losers because of the way that Rodgers flipped this on them. Making them look like the reason.
Oh, we lost Will there, but I know what he's saying that maybe they, maybe the Packers look bad because Rodgers is flipping the script and kind of pointing the finger to them, which is true. But I would say this though, Katie, I would put them in a loser in this standpoint. It felt like Rodgers was going to finish his career with Green Bay last year after he signed that extension, right? Like it felt like that was going to be the come to somewhat of a harmonious end of all this drama, only to come back a year later, and this is what we've seen. It's pretty much the end at this point. And now we have 1 year, Green Bay does, of getting Jordan Love on his rookie contract, where you could have had two. Now we're talking about the fifth-year option in 2024, and really you only have like a year and a half, 2 years, until you have to start handing him possibly a massive extension. So from a quarterback transition standpoint, Green Bay couldn't even have enjoyed the rookie contract for as long as they could have had Rodgers and them had a little bit more of a little bit more in sync in terms of how they're communicating and how they wanted to end this thing.
Yeah, I agree with you. What do you think of Jordan Love though? Because now it's Jordan Love time, and we've seen him just very, very shortly. If Aaron Rodgers was injured, do you think he is the guy? Do you think that it was kind of worth all of this drama that has ensued ever since they drafted him?
Well, you might as well find out, right? It's not like you had to sign him to a crazy deal or something along those lines where Rodgers did run this whole thing out. I guess that's the other angle to this as well. If Rodgers had stayed, now you are either burning a first-round asset because you have to trade him away, or you're now talking about just immediately extending him from what you've seen in practice in very minimal live game action. And so, we'll have to wait and see what happens with Jordan Love, but he is a guy that, I mean, clearly, I remember Ryan Wilson really liking him coming out of the draft. We haven't seen much of him, obviously, in the NFL. But now you have the 2023 season where he's only going to make like $2.2 million in base salary. You have to judge it at that point. And now you're talking about $20 million the year after on his fifth-year option. So that's where I think, again, they could be losers. And we'll soon find out if he's the guy or not. Clearly, you don't have to sign him if all of a sudden he stinks up the joint. If he stinks up the joint, you're probably not going to be a good football team and you have a high pick. So, like, there's ways to kind of land on your feet here, but ultimately I do think that they've kind of wasted an opportunity here to have multiple years of a quarterback on his rookie deal with Jordan Love.
Yeah. Agree with that. Sorry. Chrome, what is it good for? Absolutely nothing.
I don't know if you wanted to finish your thought. Yeah.
Well, no, I was just going to say that like for me, the Packers are maybe like losers right now because of how this is going to play out. If Rodgers can convince everyone that it is the Packers' fault that this is all happening, I do think moving on from Rodgers, it's going to be one of those things, a little bit like Belichick and Brady, where, you know, when the separation happens, it's probably best for both parties. You know, you don't want to like put it on one person or the other. But at the end of the day, the 2023 results are going to ultimately determine. And, you know, it's football. It's, you know, the winners and losers are determined on the field. And while if Aaron Rodgers wins a Super Bowl with the Jets, the Packers are losers. If Rodgers misses the playoffs and Jordan Love takes the Packers to the playoffs, regardless of whether the AFC and the NFC, you know, the power structure over there, then we're going to say that the Packers were winners. And you could also make the case that the Packers have a chance to be winners long-term here too, where if they're able to, Jordan Love becomes the franchise quarterback, you know, like Rodgers' first season, like 8 games in, Favre was winning with the Jets. And Rodgers, I don't think was, let me double check. I feel like Rodgers in his first season as a starter, yeah, he went 6-10. Is that right? It's 2008.
Sure.
That sounds about right. Huh?
Yeah.
So it was 6-10 as a starter in his first season. So, and then you have, you know, Brett Favre who's winning. So like six or so games in, you know, it was like, oh wow, this, and they started 2-3. So let's say 5 games into that 2008 season, I think people were probably like, oh my God, the Packers might have made a mistake here. You know, but so it's going to be difficult to sort of balance that and say, like, you don't want to jump all over Jordan Love 5 games in and be like, if Rodgers is winning games, there's several different complex layers to picking the winners and losers here. I think if the Packers extract themselves with a minimal cap hit and Jordan Love ends up being good, then they're winners. But if he's not, you know, there's a lot of different pathways for this one.
You want to be the version, 2023 version of the 2022 Seattle Seahawks. You lose your franchise quarterback. You bring in that next guy that you've at least had in the background and help you contend for the playoffs and reach the playoffs.
Agree. All right, we got to take a quick break here. You're watching the Pick Six podcast. We'll be right back.
Bracket season is here. Join the madness by playing the official bracket game of the NCAA. Get the CBS Sports app and be part of the madness.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Welcome back to the Pick Six podcast. I'm Katie Mox here with Will Brinson and Tyler Sullivan. This is day 3 of 2023 free agency. Make sure you join us all week long to keep up to date with free agent signings. And also show the pod some love. Smash that like button, comment, and of course, subscribe on our YouTube page. Okay, guys, we only have like 5 more minutes here. Any other winners or losers or news from day 3 that we should discuss?
Well, I mean, you're a winner, Katie Mox, for like we're keeping it under an hour. What do you think this is?
they brought me on to
Yeah. I mean, I'm not. From day three, from sort of like the day one, Sully, do you have anything that stands out to you? I'm trying to think who.
Well, I do think that it's a little bit interesting that, you know, the Panthers keep making interesting moves where they're interested in Adam Thielen. They bring in Hayden Hurst. It just doesn't feel like those are moves that you would pair a rookie quarterback with, right? Like, does that not – adding a guy like Adam Thielen, does that really, like, match a timeline for if, let's just say, you draft Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, or Anthony Richardson, like, or Will Levis? Like, that to me seems a little weird. So
the Levis drumbeat is growing a little loud out there.
Okay. And so, but you know, to me, that just feels, I know that like the rookie quarterbacks love their tight ends, and I think that Adam Thielen's a great red zone weapon, but it just feels like a little bit premature for those types of moves to not even know what your quarterback is going to be.
So you're saying the Panthers
are maybe they're somewhat of a loser. Again, they haven't signed Thielen, so like I'm not going to, you know, dock them for something they haven't done, but the moves that they're interested in kind of have me scratching my head a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, it does. I think I agree with that. I think, you know, when you look at the Panthers, they locked down Bradley Bozeman, meaning that they're going to have the exact same offensive line for 2 years in a row. And it wasn't always great last year, but you got my boy Ike Ekwonu at the left tackle spot. And you hope that that group will grow together and be more consistent. Like, that is sometimes such a huge thing for offensive lines. It's just a consistency year over year. You have Brady Christensen, a third round pick from 2021. And it's some free agents on there. So you're hoping that sort of develops. Taylor Moten on the right side. But, man, you look at these pass catchers, dude. Like, Hayden Hurst is their number one pass-catching weapon now that DJ Moore is gone.
Which is, again, like I'm saying, it's a little bit odd.
It is really going to be difficult to ask a Bryce Young or a C.J. Stroud, a Levis, and certainly an Anthony Richardson, and even an Andy Dalton, to come in here and win games with these sort of weapons. Now, we have seen Frank Reich offenses, and remember, their top running back is Chuba Hubbard too. Like, this offense, Frank Reich can do some stuff with the offense, but I agree with you. I think there's, you know, they got one draft pick in the first two rounds in the next 2 years. It's hard to get your offense, hard to make your offense really good without those picks.
Right. So that to me seems a little odd. Like, that doesn't feel like teams that are trying to build a young foundation. That just sounds like they're kind of patching things together as they go along.
I mean, I think we could throw, I mean, we mentioned the Patriots already, but I think you could throw the Patriots in, or Mac Jones in as a loser, you know, I mean, with my boy, I can't keep anything straight today. Jacoby Myers. I was about to say Jacoby Brissett, Jacoby Myers leaving. And then Juju Smith-Schuster coming in. There wasn't a ton of action
specifically on Wednesday.
Well, and this is what's happened. We talked about this. It's like all the stuff that happens on Monday and Tuesday is basically announced at 4 o'clock on Wednesday. And there's not a ton of I would say losers too, Jets fans who thought they might get some resolution today with Aaron Rodgers. But they
feel like they have him. I've been watching Jets fans on Twitter. They're very excited.
Yeah. That's true.
I'll give you one winner. I'll give you one winner. I do think that Tony Pollard's a winner. They get rid of Ezekiel Elliott. More touches for you in that backfield. You're on playing on the franchise tag next season as of right now, whether you sign an extension or not. Let's just say you play out that year. If you get all those Zeke touches, you're going to score more. You're going to compile more, especially in the red area. You're going to score more. That's going to set you up for a bigger payday. Again, running backs don't get paid that much in the NFL anymore, but they're probably not going to tag you for a second year in a row. And so that's going to lead you to a more productive season and a higher contract. So for him, that's probably a good move for him today.
Yeah. And I think, I was going to say, like, you look at the top 100 free agents. I mean, this free agent class is okay. It's been Orlando Brown still out there. Now Darius Slay is out there. We have Odell Beckham still, Dalton Schultz. There's not a lot of juice to this free agent class, and we've seen sort of the top parts taken off. I mean, I don't think we're going to see a ton of drama, you know, over the next 48 hours, unless there's some kind of crazy trade.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I do think that the rookie class coming in, there's a lot of good running backs, so there's a lot of competition coming out.
Yeah, for sure. I'm just saying, like, in general, this free agent class is, like, we've seen a bunch of defensive tackles, an off-ball linebacker sign, backup quarterbacks. There's not like a ton of juice to this class. If Rodgers is going to get traded, we know there's only one landing spot for him to go to. You know, it feels, unless there's some surprise lurking over the horizon, And that surprise usually comes in the first hour of the free agency opening. So I don't know. I feel like we may be sort of settling into we may be very quickly into the second wave and even third wave of free agency more quickly than usual.
And I'll say this quickly in terms of a winner, and this is more of a big picture win. It's not a singular winner, but it's NFC quarterbacks or elite NFC quarterbacks, because there's about three of them. There, you know, you see a huge exodus leaving the NFC, going into the AFC, whether it's Aaron Rodgers, even Jimmy Garoppolo, who, again, you know, wasn't, you know, Katie, you would know, he's not necessarily like an elite, elite
quarterback. Watch your mouth when you talk to me, Tyler.
Former Patriot, that's totally fine. We're in the same boat with him. But yeah, he's going to the AFC, helping that team, the Las Vegas Raiders. We assume that it's going to get done with Aaron Rodgers going to the New York Jets. So you could say that Jalen Hurts whoever's going to be under center for San Francisco or Kirk Cousins. I mean, we're going to be talking about these dudes, Dak Prescott, who shouldn't be in the conversation as the best quarterbacks in their conference, but now certainly are, at least, you know, behind Jalen Hurts, I would say. So,
I mean, Danny Dimes might be a top five NFC quarterback,
which is crazy. Wow. And then so you go down to number five in the AFC.
Actually, Matthew Stafford.
Right. Like you go down to number five in the AFC. That's, you know, you're talking Joe Burrow, you're talking, you know, yeah, you know, not Josh Allen, but you're talking legitimate all pro Hall of Fame caliber players, or at least talent wise. So that to me is, again, just another quarterback going from the NFC to the AFC. That for the rest of those NFC quarterbacks, they're probably laughing all the way to the bank.
Oh, Billy Hurts is the clear number one. Okay. I will say before.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Well, I was just going to, I'll let you finish because I'm going to wrap us up here.
I like how Billy is like comments in the chat just so he can post it on the screen, like when it's about the. Yeah.
Exactly. But before we get out of here, Kale did ask, any Brinson Sucks hats in stock? Where can we get those? Because I would like one as well. Are they in the official store? I mean,
this should be
an official Pick Six Pod hat.
Everyone agrees with you. They're made by our podcast listener, Lewis, and they're only, I think, three of them made. And like I said, I have one that says I suck, although I wish I had gotten a Brinson Sucks hat.
Brinson Sucks. Yeah, I think that works.
Too bad we don't have, what did you call them? The toboggans?
Yes, we need Brinson Sucks toboggans.
I'd rock a Brinson Sucks toboggan.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, we will get on that. But we got to wrap this up. We're already 2 minutes over an hour. Thanks for everybody for joining in to the Pick Six podcast. Make sure you join us tomorrow at 7:30 p.m. for more NFL free agency coverage. Remember to like, comment, subscribe on our YouTube page. And for anyone listening to audio only, make sure that you download, follow, leave a review, tell your friends to listen and watch the pod. We will see you tomorrow.
Should you ever set foot outside of the hotel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow. Now streaming on Paramount+. Only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.